I'm so excited about this podcast today. Many of you have been following me on the Julie Tussey Show for a while and have heard bits and pieces of my complete weight loss story, which is quite detailed and full of adventure. But I had struggled losing weight for 4 years, and I finally lost weight. And I did that by connecting with a woman named Heather Robertson. She is the founder of Half Size Me. She has a podcast and a community, and she is just amazing. She's a coach. She's just wonderful. Well, she called me and asked if she could interview me for her podcast, Half Size Me. I am so overjoyed to have done this, and I asked Heather if I could make this part of my podcast too. So I want to take you for the complete story of how I finally, through the hormonal changes that a woman goes through, have lost weight, and I've kept it off for 6 months. I'm getting ready to go forward and lose some more weight, but it has been such a great and a wonderful experience, a big learning curve for me. And I'm just so thankful to Heather and all of her help that she's given me to begin to lose weight. We do talk about perimenopause and menopause in this podcast, so there's so much good information. But here is my story of weight loss. Welcome to the Julie Tussey Show. Get on the Julie Tussey train. We're going somewhere, baby.
Pop the glampain. It's time for the Julie Tussey Show. Live guest, current events, scathing exposés. The original suburban bombshell. The big blonde baby, giving you the fastest, funniest, most informative 30 minutes of your life. And now, here's Julie Tussey.
Please join me now as we go directly to the recording that we did where Heather Robertson interviewed me for her Half Size Me podcast. And she will mention in there that I actually was able to do an interview of her complete story for her podcast also, and you can go and find that. Do enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to the Half Size Me Show. I am your host, Heather. If you want to hear more about me and my story, you can go back to episode 312, where the lovely Julie Tussey interviewed me to get my story out there and updated, if you will. And I have since called her onto the show to interview her and get her story. And so this is her interview for today. You will get to hear Julie Tussey share all about her struggles with weight and how she had to change her relationship with her body after perimenopause and menopause. And she shares how to deal with the symptoms, how she was able to lose weight and put herself in a healthy place post-menopause, how changing her mindset around weight loss and learning to lose weight in a sustainable way was a really new revolutionary idea for her, and changes that Julie made to her eating and exercise while going through menopause. So we talk a lot in this about women, their body change, things to expect. And if you're male, you might be thinking, wait, they're talking menopause, they're talking weight loss, this is not for me. It actually is, because here's the thing, guys. At some point, if you're married to a woman and she starts to get to a certain age, she's going to start going through some changes, whether you like it or not. And the more that you can educate yourself on what to expect, what things she might be going through, the better that transition will be, not just for her, but for you as well. My husband has since learned so much about perimenopause and menopause that he's feeling quite educated, if you will. So I encourage men to tune in, because the more you know about your female partner and the more that you know about the women you love in your life, the better you will be able to support them and to keep yourself in a really good positive place with them while they go through these transitions. So this is good for everyone. All right. So if you would like to join Julie and myself in the community, we are opening on Tuesday, April the 3rd. And all you have to do is go to halfsizeme.com/join. You will enter into the waiting list. You'll get some videos on what to expect in the community. And then you will be able to join us on that day. We usually open for about 24 hours, usually a little bit less because we fill up pretty quickly. And then we will close the door again until the next month. So we would absolutely love to have you. And again, all you have to do is go to halfsizeme.com/join. Now you enjoy this wonderful interview with Miss Julie Tussey. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a wonderful treat for you. I have Miss Julie Tussey with us. She has her own wonderful podcast, and she has graciously agreed to come on today to share her weight loss story with us. Julie, would you like to say hello to everybody?
Hey, everybody. Woo! It's exciting to be here today.
I know, right? Well, this is exciting because I know, you know, you've contacted me personally. I know what a struggle it's been for you on this weight loss journey. But here's why I'm so excited to bring you on today. Because you're not the only woman that is struggling with these issues. You are not the only woman who's going through these female changes and having weight gain, not knowing what to do. And I feel like the more of us that can share that as we transition through different phases and how we've handled this, the more hope it gives to others.
Exactly.
Take us back into your past and share with us when your weight actually started to become an issue for you.
Well, you know what's funny is I was thinking about that because I was assuming you would ask me, and I remember having a weight issue in my mind before I had a weight issue in my body. I guess in elementary school I had something called the Doritos Discovery, and my girlfriend brought Doritos to school, and I had never tasted anything so good in my life. And that's, I think, the first time that I realized that I really, really liked food. I grew up in a large Italian family, and cooking meant love. Eating food together meant love. And watching Days of Our Lives on the TV, you had to have food because that was all about love and family time. And so that was my first notice that I really, really liked food. And I didn't realize then that I liked it more than other people. But then I remember being with my dad in a store, and he was trying out a new camera, and I was like 11 or 12 years old. And he wanted to take my picture, and I still have this picture to this day. And I am just as skinny as a little rail, but I had a booty. I was just curvy. I was very muscular, very athletic. We worked hard, but I was really skinny. And I remember my dad taking my picture, and I didn't want him to take it. And I literally crossed my arms over my chest and looked away and was embarrassed to have that picture taken. And now when I look back at it, I realize that I began to have body issues at like 11 years old, thinking because I had curves where other girls didn't, that I was fat. And so that's how it started for me.
That's interesting, because I would say for almost every woman, I think it starts in their mind, because I could show a woman any picture of her probably, you know, like 10, 11 years old, and she would say, oh, I looked fine, right? I looked normal. But in our mind, we start getting this distorted view of our body. So during that time, do you remember other women in your life discussing their bodies in front of you, or were they struggling with their own weight? Do you recall anything like that?
Well, we had my mom was a full-time registered nurse, and so we had a neighbor that we called her Grandma Ruth, and she was quite heavy. As a matter of fact, she was the only heavy person that I think I ever saw. I'm 30 eternally, but that was quite a few years ago when I was a child, and you just didn't see obesity like you do today. But I don't remember my mom ever talking about it, but I remember Grandma Ruth being heavy and looking not pleasant to me. I was just, like, I realized I didn't like how she looked compared to how my mom looked. And my mom would get, she was like me, most of my life I've stayed, as an adult, I've stayed anywhere from a size 10 to a 14 until I hit menopause and maybe after having babies. But so my mom would go up 20 and down 20 and up 20. And she never really talked about it very much. But I remember seeing what weight looked like, and I did not want that to happen. I did not want that to be. I can look back and see it was very psychological for me. So I had this love of food. I think because I'm a little curvy that I'm fat, and then I have this woman that I love, but I don't like that she's always sick and unhealthy and in these muumuu dresses, and I found that I didn't like that. And I think that all kind of worked into my psyche of how I would end up struggling with my weight now, because I found that was, I'm not going to say a disgust, but a dislike for me, and maybe a fear that could happen to me.
So at this point, it's all in your head. You're thinking there's an issue where there isn't an issue. You're creating certain body ideals based on other women that are in your life. And when, in your opinion, did it go from just being stuff that you were struggling with internally to actually being an external issue as well?
I would say when I turned 16 and the hormones started kicking in, and for some reason, back in my high school days, Jordache jeans were famous. Well, I couldn't get Jordache jeans on to fit me. I think I probably went up to a size 12 or 14 in high school once I started having a lot of hormone issues in my life. I don't think my hormones have ever been right. Thus why I have two sets of twins. But I do believe that started making it easy for me to gain weight. And I was bullied a little bit about it because I wasn't skinny like the other girls. And so I would say when I was about 16, so that's actually, I remember between 12 and 16 starting to exercise super vigorously and trying to really limit. Like, I really, really believed that the only way you could lose weight was to starve. And so I started starving myself. Well, as time went on, I began to sing. I started singing publicly when I was 9, so I was on stage. I was watching stars. I wanted to be a star, and I wanted to look like Marie Osmond. You know what I mean? I just had this specific look that I thought that I should have. And then I had boyfriends that thought that I wasn't thin enough, and they would say negative things, you know, and then other people would call me a cow or whatever, you know, the bullying that goes on. And so it bred this horrible thing inside of me of not being able to think that I was worthy, that I was lovable, that I couldn't love myself, because no matter how hard I tried, I could not look like this vision that I had in my mind that I should be. And then I would have the support of somebody bullying me to make me feel like that. So I was very insecure. I became very insecure. And what's funny is that I could get on stage and perform, and no one would ever know that I was like that. But there's this huge insecurity and struggle within myself, never feeling like I measure up. And I have had to deal with that most of my life.
You know, Joel and I were just discussing that the other day, that a lot of people who do perform, whether it's a theatrical, meaning movies or stage, or singing, you would think they are the people with the most confidence, right? That nothing would bother them because they're putting themselves out there. But oftentimes when you actually talk to them, sometimes they're the most insecure people. And when you think about that, you know, when you look back at what was going on in your personal life, when you're thinking about the feedback you're getting from the boys and from the kids at school, do you feel like, in a way, putting yourself out there was maybe looking for that love and acceptance that you didn't feel you were getting in your personal life?
Oh, definitely, because I could open my mouth, and when I sang, it would touch people. And I'll never say that I'm the greatest singer that ever was, but I actually have been pretty talented because I've worked really hard at doing that. And it might be part of that, the reason that I pursued it so hard. Number one, you feel fulfilled because you're fulfilling the thing you feel like you were created to do. But number two, it does garner you love and acceptance, and it makes you feel like you look good in other people's eyes. And if I'm looking good in other people's eyes, then maybe I'm better than I think or am judging myself to be.
So obviously there's a lot of battle going on here, right? You're dealing with the real life struggle of getting the criticism, not feeling connected to a lot of people in your personal life. You're going outside of your comfort zone. You're singing, you're putting yourself out there publicly, you know, not only because you're gifted in this, but also because it's a sense of connection with others, right? And as you continue to age, as you stay 30 indefinitely, did your weight stay pretty much there? Because I know you mentioned having two sets of twins, and then obviously you mentioned the menopause. So at what point do you remember this starting to change even more for you?
Well, all of my adult life, I never wanted to be a size 12 or a size 14 and felt this pressure. I didn't like how I looked, but I was not unhappy. And I did pretty good through the pregnancies. I, of course, went up to like 190 when I had my first set of twins. The day I delivered, I was 190 pounds. And so then after I had them, I got right back down to my normal weight. 12 years later, I have another set of twins, and we stopped weighing me at 235 because I got eclampsia, was in a coma for 3 days, gained 40 pounds last week. So it was just insane, the things that happened to me. But after that, once I went through all of that sickness, it took me months and months to feel better. I never, ever, ever got my weight back down. So that set of twins just turned 19. So for 19 years, I've been struggling. And I was doing pretty well mentally, but I was always like 40 pounds over my normal weight. And I couldn't do anything to get it off. I lost the same 10 pounds 500 times. You know what I mean? Just up and down. I tried Weight Watchers. I tried Atkins. I tried every diet that would come across the board. I tried starvation, which works really, really well, but it is not sustainable. You know, I actually was bulimic, and I knew that I had to do something to fix it. Well, I was beginning to feel severely, severely hopeless, but I still felt fairly good in my own skin. And 4 years ago, I started going through severe perimenopause. I'm the most happy person you'll ever meet. All of a sudden, all I want to do is cry all day long, every day. My body's going through these changes. All of a sudden, I get a stomach. I've never had a stomach. Everything else has been curvy, but I've never had a stomach problem. And so all of a sudden, I have all this adipose tissue on my stomach, and I get on the scale and I've gained like 20 pounds. Seemingly overnight, this happened 4 years ago. And I knew I was going through menopause, so I went and saw a doctor and I started, you know, looking into the different things that I could do. But when I gained that 20 pounds more, it was just devastating to me. And I understand the hopelessness. I understand feeling helpless. I understand. I mean, when I reached out to you, I was just at my absolute wit's end. I spent a year in the gym trying to get ready for my daughter's wedding 2 years ago. And I exercised 5 days a week and I lost maybe 1 pound. I could not get my stomach to go down. I could not get my weight to change. And I always teasingly say, if I looked like my discipline level has been, I would have been a size 2. And if I would have had the discipline I've employed in the last 4 years through my 20s, 30s, and 40s, I would have been a size 2. You know what I mean? So I hit the wall, and I hit the wall really hard. And I actually played with the idea of, maybe this is it. Maybe you cannot change what's going on in your life. I don't know if it's because I'm in front of people or if it's just the pressure I've put on myself since I was a child, but I just am not happy if I can't wear sexy clothes when I go out with my husband, if I can't run with my children. Well, we'll say try to run because I've never really been a runner. But along with all of these horrible things that came, it was this overwhelming unhappiness in my own skin. It was horrible. And on top of that, through the menopause, I had had like minor allergies all my life. I became severely allergic to just about everything. Like, I should live in a bubble. Animals, grass, trees, everything. And so I started having asthma symptoms that were induced anytime I would do any physical activity. So here I am, you know, 60 pounds heavier than I want to be, and I can't move because I can't breathe, and I'm very frustrated. And I thank God, honestly, that I didn't become suicidal. You know what I mean? But I was so devastated that here I am at this age, and I don't really mind telling my age on Half Size Me, but I'm going to be 55 in March. So here I was, you know, 50. I'd turned 50, and I couldn't change my life and my whole life. I had spent doing this quote unquote diet thing, and I never could succeed. And I'm such a goal-oriented person, and it really was maybe one of the first times in my life that there was something in my life I could not change and I could not succeed at, that I had failed at. So I had all of this on me, and I remember I was learning about podcasting because I was going out and singing, and I've done that my whole life. And I thought, you know what, I raised six kids, we have six grandchildren, another one on the way. I have so much that I know I can share and be an encouragement, because that's, I love to encourage people. And this weight thing that I'm going through, I know there has to be other people out there that feel the way that I have felt, that have felt helpless. And so as I was thinking about this podcast idea, I decided, you know what, it's how I didn't even know. I had an iPhone for 2 or 3 years, and I didn't know what a podcast was. So I'm learning what a podcast is, and I thought, you know what, there has to be something else out there about weight loss. There has to be, you know, we all did the every book possible. If you need a book on weight loss, you can find it under my bed because I have 500 of them under there. Every kind of diet.
Right.
But I felt so desperate, Heather, and I don't know how to explain it, just that every new idea I would just grasp onto it and try. But it, you know what it was? I couldn't succeed with them because I couldn't stick to them. I couldn't live with what I was doing.
There's nothing more powerful than love and acceptance. Find it in abundance here on The Julie Tussey Show. First I drink the coffee, then I do the stuff. I'm just wild like that. I want this one to be like, in a world of haters, be a lover. I'm here to show you how to do that.
I want to go back to one thing, because a lot of women that listen to this show fall in that age bracket where they're either having children or they're transitioning through these different phases of perimenopause, menopause, and getting past that phase. And a lot of women reach out to me about this very issue. They'll say, Heather, I don't know what's going on. Things I'm doing to lose weight that once worked are not working. Or it's so subtle. If you think back to prior to when that massive change happened for you, maybe even in your late 40s, there was probably little things that were changing that you just weren't even super aware of at the time. Maybe your sleep became a little bit more irregular. Maybe there was other things going on with your body that just were subtle, you know, and you just didn't pick up on it. And I know I started going through some of that this year. And I even said to my doctor, look, you know, I'm really super regular at my cycle, and now I'm missing like two in a row. That's not normal for me. So at any point in there, did you go and see the OBGYN or see somebody about this saying, hey, I think my body's going through some massive changes right now. What can I do? And what kind of response did you get if you did that?
Yeah, I did. Believe it or not, it was almost the day that I turned 40. Perimenopause hit me like a freight train. And I don't know if it's an indicator, but I had always had really bad PMS my whole life. And so what happened then was all of a sudden I started having anxiety. I'd never had anxiety. I started having night sweats. I never had night sweats. I couldn't sleep at night. I always slept like a log. Just all of a sudden, it was just like it just came out of the blue. So I literally went and found an endocrinologist. And I went to talk to her, and she said that I had a hormone imbalance, and as long as I couldn't get those hormones balanced, I would always be 40 pounds over my normal weight. And so that was at 40. I did find a book called What Your Doctor Won't Tell You About Perimenopause and What Your Doctor Won't Tell You About Menopause by Dr. Lee. I think that he has passed now. But so I started this study in nutrition and hormone replacement therapy, bioidentical hormone, all of that. I did go on, we did find out that I had an adrenal problem. They tested me for Addison's disease, which is deadly, where your adrenal glands don't work properly because you've had too much stress in your life. And so they stop functioning properly, and your cortisol gets all crazy, and you cannot lose weight. And so I actually had to be, I did not have the disease, thank God, but I had struggling adrenals, and I had to treat my body with nutrition, eating cleaner, cutting out the junk and the processed food, and eat healthier. But I also had to take a bunch of vitamins and minerals and supplements, and that took about, I guess, about 3 or 4 years to get over. But really, the first symptom of menopause onset or perimenopause for me was anxiety.
And I am with you on that. For me, it was the sleep, the night sweats. I immediately started noticing that. And the reason I think you and I are sharing so much of this is because we know other women are struggling with this, right?
Yeah.
This is stuff you want to be looking for. I've had many coaching clients now who start telling me some of these issues they're struggling with. And I'll say, well, what age are you? And they'll say, okay, I'm between 40 and 44. And I'll say, you know, have you thought about maybe the fact you could be in perimenopause? You know, because a lot of those symptoms fall under that bucket. So knowing what you know now, being on this side of it, with what you've learned about nutrition, the adrenal issue, looking back at maybe the tactics you were taking to lose weight during that time, do you see things that you think, man, had I known what I know now, this is what I would have done differently?
Definitely. Before that time, anytime I wanted to lose weight, I could lose it. I just couldn't sustain it. Then once the perimenopause started coming in, and I do want to say on a side note that there's progesterone cream, and you can study that on the internet and learn about it. It saved my life through perimenopause. It's amazing stuff. But once I hit that, I couldn't lose weight. Once I started having all those symptoms, it wouldn't matter. I mean, unless I just literally stopped eating, I could not lose weight at all. And so that was the struggle. I'd go to Weight Watchers and do it a little bit, you know, a little while, but it would come up 0.2 pounds. When I found the podcast and I found you and I found Half Size Me, it made me think in a completely different way that I wish I would have heard you when I was 20. I really, really do. I remember the first time I heard you, I believe I read your book, talk about losing weight with maintenance in mind, blew my mind. I heard Katherine Heigl, is that her last name with the new podcast? I heard her saying, yeah, she thought this too. I guess I thought that once you get to that magic number, then it's all rainbows and flowers and you never have to work at it again and you've arrived. And I never ever dreamed of how I would maintain it. I never even thought about it, Heather, if you can believe that. I never thought about it. And then the other thing that just marked my life and changed me, and I believe is why I'm now seeing weight loss, is that you talked about, okay, if you've lived for 40 years and you take 2 years to lose weight, what's the percentage of that, you know what I mean, of your whole life? It's so small. You mean what? You mean I don't have to white knuckle and just starve myself and go without and sacrifice and get it done as quick as possible so I can arrive? No. I was like, what? And I don't have to follow someone's plan?
What it sounds like is you had a massive shift in your thinking around it, which I'm assuming, based on what you're sharing here, caused you to do different actions than what you were trying to do prior.
Yes, yes.
How did you change your actual approach versus what you were doing before based on this kind of mind shift you had?
Well, before, I think I was stuck in the 20-year-old, okay, let's eat cabbage soup for a week and we'll lose 10 pounds and we're done. I actually started realizing it's going to take time. And I started taking the pressure off of myself. It was like I was in a pressure cooker for all those decades. And I realized, okay, Heather lost 170 pounds. All these women in the community are losing. And the difference between me and you was that you found something that you could live with. And when the scale didn't change, it didn't devastate you because I was so unhappy with where I was, that when I would actually sacrifice and discipline myself and that scale didn't move, that was killer. That was killer for me. And so I would just go from thing to thing to thing to thing to try and find the one thing that would work. And so I changed my approach completely. I've lightened up on myself. I love that I can take maintenance breaks. Maintenance breaks? I just took 10 weeks of a maintenance break through the holidays. And I've always said I'm a good maintainer. I am, because I've maintained this overweightness forever. And so I'm learning to lose it in a way where I can keep it off, hopefully, when I'm done. It might sound braggadocious and I'm teasing, but hopefully I can keep it off when I'm done. But if I don't, I'm learning to do what I can do for the rest of my life. And it is trial and error. Now, with menopause, and I know when you study this, when you're going in perimenopause and menopause, you have to start eating differently. I used to be able to live on oatmeal and bananas, dry cereal, breads and crackers, and I would get skinny, the low fat, quote unquote, right? And all carbs. I used to be able to live on all carbs. Well, now I have to increase my protein because I am starving all the time if I don't. And therefore, I eat too much. I have to cut my sugar. Man, that one stinks. That one really stinks, but I've had to cut my sugar to do it. So you do have to change your diet when you get into this wonderful golden era of life.
So basically, if we were to do a compare and contrast, it would be letting go of the desperation and focusing just on the speed of which you would be losing with more this longevity approach, realizing you were going to need to continue to work at it. It was increasing protein and cutting out sugar. That basically seems like it helped you. And then what about your fitness? How did that play into it, or did it play into that?
Yeah, it actually did. In April, it'll be 2 years that I've been at a gym and been there consistently, except through the holidays. And I started out 5 days a week, and I realized, and thank God it was part of Half Size Me, because I didn't feel like a failure because I couldn't do this. I realized, you know what, I feel good, but I can't do this. I work too much. I have too many kids and too much going on. But I can live with 3 days a week or 2 days a week. So I just changed that. But I actually, when I first started on the treadmills, I had to use an inhaler every time before I went on, and I could only go like 2.2 miles an hour. So I've worked it up to, I can do 2.7 to 3 miles an hour with no inhaler, and I do some resistance training, as I go. And it's made, I feel stronger, I feel healthy, I feel just so much better. I think mentally you feel better when you go to the gym. I'm concerned that I may have to become a gym rat or a bodybuilder or something to get where I would like to be, and I'll have to make that decision. Is it worth it? but right now, and I told you, here's my problem right now, Heather. I've lost 24 pounds, and I feel so good that in my own mind, I'm a size 2, and I feel great, but I still need to keep going, so now I'm trying to find my why to continue out of maintenance, and I would really like to get down to a healthier weight.
So that was going to be my next question. So you've gotten down to 24 pounds, but I also know, because you had shared some photos in the Half Size Me community, I also know that your body has changed quite a bit, probably in big part to the strength training. So with your clothing and all that kind of stuff, what have you seen difference-wise in your body versus where you were 24 pounds ago?
Yeah, I actually was kind of starting to look like a little barrel around the middle. And I didn't even realize it was happening, but all of that. So I'm starting to get my waist back, and my legs are getting thinner than they've ever been. My arms are getting stronger. I don't know if they're going to get thinner. But I actually have gone down 2 sizes, I think, And I can honestly say, I don't think 24 pounds should have taken me down that much. I think things are getting more compact and tighter. I can tell you my husband's very happy with it.
So. I just had this conversation with one of my coaching clients the other day. She's like, I don't know if I'm going to want to add strength training in because it might slow my weight loss down. And we were just discussing this. She thought maybe she was going to have to do it 4 or 5 times a week, kind of like what you were joking about the bodybuilder thing. And I told her, in all honesty, if you're a woman and you can dedicate 2 days a week to strength training, doing compound lifting, you will be putting yourself in a fantastic place as you age for body composition. So when you're thinking, ladies, of minimum threshold to actually see benefits and to reap the long-term benefits of the osteoporosis, the osteopenia, all the hormonal benefits, at least 2 times a week. That's really what you want to focus on. Above and beyond, great, but that minimum dosage is going to be a lot for you, and it's going to show a lot of improvement. So, Julie, for you, compared to where you were, that's a huge change. And as you look over that 24 pounds, were there times you wanted to quit? Were there times that you hit turbulence and you would have done the old thing that the past Julie would have done, where she would have said, oh, I didn't see results and I don't want to continue? And how did you push past that?
Yeah, you know what? I like to say the road to my success in weight loss is littered with chips, salsa, and chocolate. And I actually would come up on times through that. The weight loss was not like, I put a graph on, the facebook.com/TheJulieTussie Show. I put my graph on there of my weight loss over the last year. Heather, it's insane. My weight just goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And it used to be that the up would just so discourage me. And there were a few times during this 24 pounds that scale almost got me. But I would just go listen to a podcast. I would go on the community. You can tell sometimes when I'm on the community, I'm saying, help. This is bad. Things are bad for me. And you get all kinds of encouragement and feedback. And that has just really helped me. And I think that the thing that's just stuck with me when I get on that scale is I just hear you and the other members saying, that's just a number. That's just a number, and that is not our measure. That's not our measurement, because look how well I've done. I've actually gotten a plan and stuck to it for a year. I'm making this something that I can live. I'm going to the gym, and I am working out, and I'm feeling better. My legs can wear thigh-high boots now, and I feel like a goddess in those. That's what matters. You know what I mean? I got my groove back. I feel so much better.
And let me just say this, because I don't want men to hear all this perimenopause, menopause talk and think that this doesn't affect them. Joel's been on his weight loss journey since August. He's been losing weight. His dad passed away in October of 2015. He hit kind of a downward spiral. He gained basically 15, 20-ish pounds. He wanted to lose it. So he's been doing really, really well. He's been losing since August of this last year. And he got on the scale and he was at his lowest weight he's ever seen in his life. And he was so excited. He comes back to me literally the next day, Julie, and he goes, oh, Heather, I'm 3 pounds up from my lowest weight, which put him up higher than he wanted to be. He goes, why did it do that? And I said, do you not listen to the podcast? This is a very logical male who does not have hormonal fluctuations. And he was in that moment feeling a little insecure, right? This idea of how could I be at my lowest weight yesterday? And today I'm up 3 pounds. How does that happen? And so, of course, I explained to him the same way I'm explaining to you, right? That your body fluctuates 2 to 5 pounds any given day, that you can't look at one piece of data and attach your worth to it, because it's going to come back. The lower weight will come back. You have to wait it out, right? You can't expect it to be there every single day. For you, did you find it was a mind game to stay engaged even when that happened?
Oh, you know what I had to do? I literally put my scale under my bed a few times and I couldn't live without it. I'm like scale addicted. So I either had to get on the scale every single day, and I can do that now and realize that that's going to happen. Or, and this is what I did when I first started losing weight, I had to stop weighing myself except once a month. I'd be like, nope, I will not get on it except once a month. And that was what really helped me to break that, the power of the scale or the bad boy.
Excellent. So for you, is that when you first started refocusing yourself, did the weighing once a month work and then you transitioned to the once per day?
Yes. Once I realized, all right, you're losing good. All right, we're going to get brave now. And I can't do it once a week. I can't. It kills me because if I've gained that 3 pounds or 5 pounds or 2 pounds, I think I can go up 12 pounds and literally with water retention, that would just throw me off so bad. But if I did the once a month or the, if I do it every day, and I literally have done that for through all the holidays, every single day I've gotten on the scale until recently. Now I'm kind of like ignoring it, and I'll get on it probably the 1st of February.
So if we were to encapsulize what big things changed for you in this last year that made this 24 pounds possible, and I specifically remember you emailing me and saying, hey, would you take a look at my food logs? And I was like, you need to eat more protein, right?
So, thank you, Heather.
Yeah, eating more protein. The other thing I heard was cutting out the sugar, right? So we talked about reducing some of those fun foods, not eliminating, right? Reducing, yes. Reducing. I hear strength training in the last 2 years, and then I'm hearing getting a better relationship with the scale, which for you sounds like it went from less was better at the beginning to then kind of weighing more frequently and seeing those daily variations and making kind of peace with that whole process, right?
Yes.
So all of these things, and then as far as what you had mentioned kind of going through the perimenopause, I heard you mentioned the progesterone cream. And yes, was there anything else that helped you through that process besides that?
Well, now I actually went 6 months, no period, 6 months with a period, 6 months, no period, 6 months with a period. So for 2 years, I've been going through the severe menopause cycle. I'm now in month 7. Woo!
Wow, excellent.
So Thank you. I'm smack dab in the center of getting through this 1 year period that you have to go. 1 year with no periods for the third time. So I did go and talk to a doctor, and I got something. It's called a combi patch, and it's just a patch that you put on. And I'm supposed to put this whole patch on me, but I'm sensitive to everything. So I cut it in half or in a quarter, and I really pay attention to my body and how I feel. If I put a half on, it sometimes feels too much, so I'll just put a quarter of the patch on. And it has changed my life because I've gone from, you know, just wanting to cry all the time, anxiety, to where I've just got I'm me again. I have a little bit more energy. I feel so much better. Of course, hormone replacement therapy, a part of this patch is a bioidentical thing, and I did a lot of research on it, and I feel like at this time in my life, this is what I have to do for me. Mm-hmm. I'm also taking something called Herbal Equilibrium, and it comes from a site called Women to Women, and they are a massive amount of information of how to deal with this and products to deal with this without HRT. So I kind of do, it's got black cohosh and ashwagandha in it. There's so many good herbal things that you can try. I, of course, was the extreme because I cannot do anything small in my life. It must be a big thing. So I use a little bit of the HRT, but I limited it. I try to use as little as possible and feel good until I get through this. And then once I get through it, who knows? But there's a lot of really good. The progesterone cream was just key for me for 10 years. It helped me so much.
And you said that website was Women Versus Women?
It's Women to Women.
Two Women, okay.
Yep. And okay. The progesterone cream, after all of my research, it's called Happy PMS Progesterone. And it's wonderful. But you can really get a lot of great information. I'm sure you feel this way too. I've learned through this whole process of all these years that my body is unique, individual, and different from everyone else's, and I have to educate myself. Even if I go to a doctor, I still will take the information I get from a doctor because I'm the one who will live with the results of what I ingest,
yes,
or use.
Well, that was kind of like when I went to my doctor initially and I said, I think there's something going on. And she's like, no, you're too young to have that happen. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, there's something going on. And then she finally had a hormone profile run on me. And she's like, yeah, you're right. You know, so so the reason I think what you're saying is important is like you take the doctor's information into account, you do some research, and I've purchased some progesterone cream. I have not used it yet, but I've also found that there are a lot of really good melatonin nighttime sleep aids that tend to really help. And for me, that's what it's all been about. If I don't get quality sleep, I make really horrible decisions and I have a hard time functioning. So for me, going through those changes, because when women are thinking about how could this be affecting me right now, or what role is this playing? Think about it like this. If you've gone from having solid sleep, you're somebody who hits your head hits the pillow and you fall asleep, to now you're having night sweats and you're having anxiety and you're having sleep disturbances, there's no wonder why maybe you're grazing a little bit more, right? You're tending to gravitate towards the sugary treats. So you got to get those things under control and kind of almost deal with those where those disturbances are happening. So for you, it sounds like the progesterone cream was a big relief on that end.
Well, yeah, and I started having these, I want to mention this in case other women are having it. I started having like small migraines, and if I would go get my progesterone cream and put it on, it would go away. So, and migraines are another symptom of perimenopause.
All right, so the first one is, where do you see we're at the beginning of 2018? Because you mentioned the thing about you feel amazing, you're wearing your thigh-high boots, you're looking smoking, your husband's loving it, and you still feel this compulsion that you want to lose more. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but what I'm saying is, at what point do you think you'll be okay with where you are, and what is the goal for this year?
Well, my normal weight my whole adult life was averaged about 144. And so now I realize I'm 54. So maybe 154 to 160 is where I think I want to go and see how I feel. I really don't have a set number if someone asks me, and I know that's unusual. I'm open to anywhere from 144 to 164. Anywhere in there and see where I feel good, because when you're older and you're going through menopause, and you get through menopause, sometimes I think you can weigh a little bit more and it's okay. I really don't need to be that 20-year-old model that I always wanted to be, you know. I really don't need that. But I'm going to find out where I feel good. I pray to God and I have my hands folded. Please help me, Jesus, to at least get close to that and be able to play in that area. Mm-hmm. And find out. To me, it's not a number. I wouldn't care if my scale said I weighed 500 pounds if I could fit in a size 7 or 9. I would be very, very happy. But the main reason I want to do that is because I feel like I'll feel more confident. I think I will feel better and healthier. And it's very important to me to feel good inside about that. So I don't have a definite set goal, and I know that's unusual for most people. They're like, well, don't you have a goal? Well, not really. I'm just going to take the journey. I'm going to live, you know, another 50 years and see what happens.
I think that's a great goal, because in all honesty, actually, it was interesting. I was talking to my yoga instructor about menopause, perimenopause, and she actually brought up a really good point. She said a lot of the belief around why weight gain actually happens in perimenopause and menopause for women, that kind of 10 to 20 pound gain, is because it puts extra resistance on the bones, which actually makes them more durable, because as you know, as women age, right, bones become more brittle. And it's an actual force protection the body gives you to carry extra weight, which then causes the bones to increase in density, which I thought it was really interesting. And I've done a little research on that, and a lot of other cultures believe the same. So oftentimes we might weigh a little bit more, but there might be an actual reason our body's trying to protect us, you know, especially if you're not doing resistance training, which I know you are. And you don't necessarily know, because if you've already been 40 pounds overweight and then you gain the extra 20, you might have a new settling weight. But like you said, right now, you already, just with the 24 you've lost, feel so much better. So even if you lost another 10, 15, or 20, you're going to feel that much better. So sometimes it's about how you feel. And oftentimes when we get locked into a number, we get disappointed because that's what we attached our success to.
Right. And I think that that's a big thing for me, because I felt so devastated for so long that I couldn't attain that number. I don't want to do that to myself again.
So now the Julie Tussey Show. So that's been around for a couple years, correct?
Yeah, 2 year anniversary.
And so what was the initial motivation for the podcast, and for those people who loved hearing from you today and might be interested in checking out your podcast, what is the overall message and what can they expect if they were to start listening?
Well, the idea of it is that I wrote my last album, I wrote a song called Big Blonde Baby. And when I was going out performing, everybody would say, "Are you the big blonde baby?" And when I wrote it, I wasn't. It's like, she's long and tall, full and free. It's just like, it's not me, you know? Mm-hmm. But I somehow, people projected that persona onto me. They're like, well, she must be the big blonde baby. So the premise of the show was that I love to have fun and I love to give information. And the big blonde baby is kind of a persona. She thinks she's great and she's a super overconfident person. You know, I say things like, I'm smart enough to be a blonde, and just things like that, just way over the top, making fun of myself, to kind of use that side of who I am to entice people to want to listen to me and then make them laugh and give them really good information. It's a lifestyle podcast. We talk about a lot of women's things. There's basically nothing I won't talk about except politics. But I really wanted to use it to, number one, express the things that I have learned in life the hard way, to maybe help young moms, to help women who want to start their own business. I'm just super, super huge on find your dream and follow your dream, and it's never too late to live it. It's never too late to live a fulfilled life, no matter how old you are. So it's that combination of things. And then it's my life. You know, my husband and I were talking about it, and I said, do you think I should do like a sub-podcast to address this and a sub-podcast to do that? And he said, I think the show just is you. It's your life. And so I basically just talk about whatever it is that is making me feel good or information that I'm getting. And of course, my weight is a big thing. So we talk a lot about weight loss and fitness.
And I just want to give you kudos on this, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of it can be people taking themselves far too seriously. Yeah. and making it almost political about weight loss and health. And it can become one of those things where you're just like, I've heard enough of this. I don't need to hear this anymore. But I look forward to listening to your podcast, because not only do you try and bring something that is of use and helpful to the audience and women that need this information, but you do it in that lighthearted, friendly, there's no pretentiousness there. You don't have a secret agenda and a supplement line you're pushing. And I love that, because it actually makes me, I walk away, I'm smiling, I feel better. Whereas sometimes I'll listen to podcasts and they get so kind of mired in the negative and all the things you're doing wrong and all the ways that you should be doing things better. And I don't feel like that with yours. And that's what I really appreciate and respect, is I feel like it's fun, it's lighthearted, you feel good when you walk away from it, you got some valuable information. But like you said, you didn't take yourself so seriously. And I love that about it.
Oh, thank you. That does mean a lot to me. Honestly, Heather, I just really want to help people to have a happy life, and if they need to change their life, because when you've been through things, you know, we all go through bad things. I've been through some very bad things. I don't talk about them, but I've been through some very bad things in my life, and the weight has just been really, really bad for me. So if I can do anything to help other people to overcome and be better and feel better and do better in life, that's really what my heart is, and that's why I do what I do.
Love this. All right. Well, Miss Julie, I told you this before, I am proud of you, because I like watching the community members and my coaching clients. I like watching them hit points of struggle and then overcoming it. Because what that means is you were really struggling, right, for quite a while. You reached out to me in private several times, you know, you and I have talked, and you kept hitting the struggle wall, and then you overcame one, right? And yeah. What that means is, if you're capable of doing that, and you're able to face it head on and overcome something, that means it's true for every other human being out there. And that gives me such a sense of hope for everyone. So I just want to say thank you, one, for being willing to share your story, especially a lot of the personal stuff around the perimenopause, the menopause, because a lot of our listeners are going through that right now themselves and they might be struggling. What words of encouragement or wisdom would you like to share? And then for those that want to follow you, they want to check out your show, they want to see what you're up to, where can they find you?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you so much, Heather, for having me on. It's an honor and a privilege, and I'm just so happy to be doing this. What I'd like to say is if I can do it, anybody can do it, and it's never too late. I don't care if you're 20, 50, 70. It's never too late to change your life. You know, life is a culmination of our choices, and all we have to do is start making different choices to be successful, number one. And number two, never, never give up. It's easy to give up and let your health go, but if you don't have health, you won't have a fulfilling life. And it'll be hard for you. So never, ever give up. There's people out there like Heather and myself and all kinds of people that will love you, will care for you, and will encourage you. If you want to hear the Julie Tussey Show, we're on just about every podcast platform. We're with Blog Talk Radio, and we're on iTunes and Stitcher. And so you can find us. All you got to do is Google us. I do have a website. It's thejulietusseyshow.com. And my biggest platform is Instagram and Facebook. So you can find me on Facebook if you just search The Julie Tussey Show. But I love for people to connect with us. So thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. You keep doing what you're doing. And I am going to be excited to see what 2018 brings for you this year.
Thank you. I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, please, Lord, at least 24 more. But I'm not going to pressure myself, but I'm going to continue to be connected with you and the group, Heather, because it's changed my life and I so appreciate it.
Awesome. You have a wonderful day and thank you so much.
Well, there you have it, the complete weight loss story that I have struggled through for the last 6 years. I hope that you enjoyed it. More than that, I hope that it is an encouragement to you. I wanted to let you know I'm putting together right now the outline for a complete series on perimenopause and menopause. And of course, we'll be addressing weight loss in that timeline, I am sure, because it's all related and all comes together. Thank you so much for listening to The Julie Tussey Show. I appreciate you. Please share with your girlfriends and your guy friends and everybody that you know about The Julie Tussey Show. Please subscribe if you're listening on iTunes. Give us a review and definitely let your friends and family know that we're here because we are all about helping you to have a better and fulfilled life. This is Julie Tussey telling you, you only get one life. Live it to the fullest.
After a week of hearing hundreds of I can'ts, I'm here today to tell you, you can.
Find us on social media at facebook.com/ The Julie Tussey Show and Instagram, The Julie Tussey Show, home of the original Suburban Bombshell.
Want to feel amazing, strong, and healthy any time of the day or night? Go to Get Fit in Richmond, Kentucky. Open 24 hours a day with memberships as low as $14.99 a month. Fitness on your schedule. Get Fit. I know you're the man I want to meet. Everything about you calls my name.
If life is my oyster, darling, pass the hot sauce.